Al-Bayan Radio presents the following program, asking Allah that it serves as a benefit for all.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters, and welcome to Al-Bayan Radio. We are currently live from the studios in Belmore on this third night of the blessed month of Dhul-Hijjah, 1439 after the blessed Hijrah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I'm pleased to be joined by my dear brothers, our special guest hosts, Nasim Abidi and Omar Najareen. Assalamu alaikum, brothers.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We are also live on Facebook, so give salam to our Facebook viewers tonight.
Wa alaikum, Facebook viewers.
Omar.
Salaam alaikum.
Like, he don't talk into the microphone because the microphone's not connected to the Facebook live stream.
Only if someone is listening to Facebook and they're ready at the same time.
Well, they are, tabarakallah, some very special people.
Welcome to all our listeners. We are live on 107.9 FM in Sydney until the end of the days of Tashriq next Saturday. So another good 12 or 13 days live on 107.9 FM in Sydney. And welcome to all our listeners listening on our Wi-Fi radios on this third of Dhul Hijjah.
Just confirm to the listeners what you mean by Saturday, because people might get confused saying, what's going on, Eid on Saturday? Or
what do you mean?
Yani, we have Eid, then we have what's happening. You have the day of Eid and after that.
Naam, we'll be on FM until the end of the days of a Tashriq, which in our modern day calendar, the 25th of August, Saturday. Day so after the last day of Tashriq, we'll be on after even.
Day after my birthday.
Yeah, because just to announce to our listeners, maybe some don't know, next Monday will be the 9th of Arafah, which we should fast. And next Tuesday, the 21st of August, is Eid al-Adha. Is that right, Omar?
That's right. SubhanAllah. You guys very quick. Was any, yesterday that we're sitting here speaking about the same topic, SubhanAllah.
That was actually a year ago, but okay.
1 year ago, exactly.
A year ago.
What's changed in a year, Omar? Much?
Well, I don't know. I've got a new neighbor.
Have you?
Oh, yeah, Mubarak on the way.
Yeah, for those, you know, we don't want to spill too much of our private affairs, but yeah, Omar's my neighbor.
Yeah, so Mubarak Omar and Allah Aynak Nidal.
Hale, literally, when we say neighbor, we're talking about a fence, we can open up a gate, and then two houses or two backyards become one, like that close.
Neighbor. I have one word for my new neighbor. Unique.
Allahumma barik. That's a special description. Without going into too much detail,
we've already worked it out, like how we're going to structure our thing in life and things like that.
That's definitely about something that we need to speak about. It's good because you guys get to implement it. You know, all of the ahadith about the neighbors and the rights of the neighbor and the Quran talking about the neighbor. It's good that you guys can actually live it and implement as a hadith, because unfortunately, as you guys know nowadays, the vast majority of us live and we don't even know what our neighbor looks like.
Yes.
We don't know their name. We don't know their story. We don't know are they good or are they bad. We don't know. They don't know if we're good or bad. It's like nothing. Where, you know, obviously, you know, you see when you were younger in the movies where the people used to go over with a plate of food, or, you know, if someone wants to do that today, we've gone that far back that you'd be like, what the hell, why is this person bringing me a cake that I've moved in? Like, is it poisoned? Is it this? Is it that? You'd be like, no.
In saying that, my dad's had a neighbor for 50 so years or so, Mr. Wilson. I never knew his first name, because our dad always told us he's Mr. Wilson, and it was like the spine, like very elderly, veteran sort of, the veterans, World War II and that sort of elders. He was about 92 or 93, passed away last week.
Oh, yeah.
My dad was so upset because he said when we first moved in, they used to welcome us and bring us stuff, and
yeah,
you know, they used to do all that stuff. And you're right, we don't have that
spine. Well, even when I was younger, I remember when we were living in Fairfield, there were even non-Muslims, but when we first moved in, at least they came and they did, like, they did greet us, and you know, we greeted them obviously, and there was, you know, my parents knew their parents, and, you know, people, kids across the road. Now kids don't even play with each other. Like, that's how.
So in Dhul Hijjah, in these 10 days, you can implement that, because it's about increasing your good deeds. So that's one aspect, inshallah, I think we can look at.
Yes, we are in the greatest days of the year, the best 10 days of the year, the days of Dhul Hijjah. We'd like to welcome our listeners one more time who are listening on our Wi-Fi radios and on 107.9 FM in Sydney. And we'd also like to remind them that they can call in and contribute. 9740-6160. Call in.
One more time.
Have a say. 02 if you're out of Sydney. 9740-6160. Or leave your comments on our live stream.
Yes.
And now you can see Nassim there. He's the first one. You got Omar. And you have Abu Abdurrahman off screen, which is the best place to be.
The phantom, tabarakallah.
Barakallah feekum. Omar, what's so special about these days?
I think, as you mentioned, these are the special 10 days, you can say, of Dhul Hijjah that lead up towards Hajj. And we all know what we're basing our Hajj on. We're basing on the story of pretty much Ibrahim, or Ibrahim alayhi salam, and his son. And in brief, subhanAllah, you can look at Hajj. When a person, he leaves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, to prepare. However, the best preparation is the taqwa, the fear and the reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person in these 10 days, those that are in Hajj, or performing Hajj, or here, it's about sacrifice. A person has to look and see that Ibrahim alayhi salam was about to sacrifice his own son. And his son, he said to his father, he says, you would find me from those that are patient, inshallah.
Mm.
So it's all about sacrificing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not asking us to sacrifice our children. And you'd have to understand, when we say this, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded that for us, then this is something we'd have to do. But through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, we don't have that command. However, this was a test for Ibrahim alayhi salam, which he completed the test. So subhanAllah, you look at your life, you say, okay, I'm not being asked to sacrifice my children. But if we are, then that's what we're expected to do. But we're not. What we're asked to sacrifice, Naseem, there's really one simple answer.
Tafadla.
The only thing really, if you really want to bring it down to it, that we are sacrifice from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, is our time. Our time for what? Look at a lot of times that people don't do the actions of ibadah. It's because they feel to themselves, they haven't got time to do that. They haven't got time to pray or fast, perform hajj. When do you go to hajj, akhi? Oh, I can't. I'm busy. Oh, I've got work. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not asking you to sacrifice a life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking you to sacrifice your time from your day, to stop everything and to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to do the actions of good. Righteous actions, again, they take time to do. It takes time for someone to give charity, do actions of charity, look after the neighbor, raise children, whatever it may be. A person, he sacrifices his time, which is important to him, but he does it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. Yes, there's many other sacrifices, but that's something, subhanAllah, when I take a step back, I say that, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not asking us to sacrifice our children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us to sacrifice the 24 hours in a day Allah has given us, to sacrifice that time for his sake.
I'm going to take what you said and take it a little bit further and say sacrificing comfort. Because you're going to find a lot of the time, we don't have it's not, like you said, it's not our children that we're asked to sacrifice. It's not, putting our wives in the middle of the desert somewhere that we're asked to sacrifice, like Ibrahim alayhi salam did, which is what so much of the Hajj is based upon, the actions of Ibrahim alayhi salam and his family, alayhim salam. But it's sometimes for us, it's just your comfort. When you look at, for example, time, why are so much of us so, I can't, akhi, I don't have time. I can't get to the masjid, I don't have time. I can't read Quran, I don't have time. Mothers complain that I have time. Fathers complain that I have time. Sometimes it's because of those little extra things that you do that you're just so used to that comfort, you don't want to break it. Or I got home at 6 o'clock. Or akhi, you got an hour to Aisha. All right, go home. If you want to shower, shower. If you want to eat, you want to rest a bit, no problem. But then get up, go to Aisha. We're so stuck on these things here. So I hope you're not watching on this for only for a good reason. But we're so stuck on these phones that we don't want to put it down. No, we don't want to put it down.
Just to let the brothers know while you're on there, Naseem, subhanAllah, has a screen picture of a hand holding a phone with a chain connected to it.
Yeah, so we don't want to see.
So that's exactly what we're talking about, pretty much.
Yeah, so I think, I'm guessing so. So they can see it. They can get a good look. But yeah, 100%.
Is that a reminder for you? What?
Yeah, it's a reminder. Does it work as much as I'd like it to? Probably not. Alhamdulillah, I'm pretty good at using my phone for a lot of good, but it's so easy to get carried away.
True.
That's the thing. It's so easy to get carried away. And sometimes it's just because of that comfort, that extra comfort that we want. The extra hour of sleep. And if you were to look at a lot of the ulama when they speak about really conditioning the soul, one of some of the biggest things that causes soul to be lazy or cause your soul to be corrupted or cause your soul to be moved away from Allah Azza wa Jal, there's extra comfort in your life. It's not about halal and haram all the time. It's not about always that halal and haram, but it's about that. They'll talk about extra sleep, talking about that extra food that you eat, talking about those extra luxuries in life. It's not necessarily about halal and haram. It's not haram to do those things. But sometimes just about that little bit of extra comfort, which if you were able to sacrifice from your life, you would see that, wallah, you achieve a lot. And usually, whether you're Muslim or non-Muslim, you'll find a big goal in life that a lot of time the ones that achieve were the ones that sacrificed.
The thing is, with that, a person has to understand, subhanAllah, from the fajr or from the time that you wake up, it's get go. Yani, a person has to be motivated and can maintain himself motivated for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These days, we have this disease. And if we see people, for example, and I realized this, and I mentioned this story before, and I mentioned again, that one of the Hajj trips I had attended, well, in Arafah, for example, me, I looked at it, like Arafah is the most important. This is why we're here. This is one of the most important days. And Hajj is Arafah, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said. Yes, you have to do the rest of them stuff, but the most important pillar, or the pillar, main pillar, is Arafah, being Arafah. And subhanAllah, I knew that time between Asr and Maghrib, that's the special time a person, he has to make dua. And this is very, very important. But I found, subhanAllah, that when we were there, a couple of brothers, and you'll get there about Dhuhr time, for example, a couple of brothers, they pray Dhuhr or whatever, and then they'll go to sleep. And I'm like, brothers, like, yeah, this is important. He goes, no, I'll wake up a half an hour before Maghrib and I'll make dua. But I mean, this is the most important time. Anyway, I said, khalas, you just want to make that decision. So me and two other brothers, we went, we sat, read Quran, made dua, whatever. Then I realized, once one went to sleep, the other ones also started to go to sleep, until there was about six or seven brothers that were sleeping, and some of them slept all the way to Maghrib. Now, subhanAllah, when I look at that, I say, you know what? A person has to motivate himself. He can't look at others. In these 10 days, he can't look at other people and say, well, you know what? He didn't do that and he didn't do that. So if I don't do that, it's okay. No. Don't compare yourself to other people. You have to self-motivate yourself. And this is a problem. We look around us. We see people, for example, not giving 100%. So therefore, we don't give 100%. We think to ourselves, you know what? We're going to go at the pace of everyone else. It's like Allah rahmahu Mustafa al-Mazdub, Allah rahmahu, he used to say. He used to always give this example. He used to say, it's like when you're driving on the road and you get to a traffic jam. He goes, you've got two options. You can sit behind the cars, just like everyone else, or you can overtake, right, go into a lane that's empty. Even sometimes you find a traffic jam just in one lane. You look at the other lanes, all empty. What is everyone standing there for?
Cheap.
Go on the other lane and overtake. And he said, you know what? Life's about overtaking others and just continuing and keep going. And subhanAllah, that is so true.
You know, if you gotta apply this from that example to Ramadan, and then one of the big reasons a lot of people belittle these 10 days, which yani the hadith is very explicit, the hadith is very clear. The Prophet told you there's no days where the deeds are more beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal when they're done than these 10 days. And not even jihad, Ya Rasulullah, even jihad. You know, these good deeds of Quran, dhikr, coming to the masjid, having good akhlaq, seeking knowledge, all of these things. You know, so they're better than jihad fi sabilillah, like someone going on a battlefield. And the Prophet replies, even jihad fi sabilillah, except for the one who dies as a martyr. Okay, the one who dies as a martyr, you're not going to get that stage. Okay, but other than that, which is a rarity, this is a very special status. The deeds are more beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal. Now you compare what you just said about not being a sheep. Don't be this cattle that just follows the one, the person in front of you, but pioneering, being the difference. If you look at a big difference in now and Ramadan, you find a lot of us, we motivate ourselves in Ramadan because everyone else is motivated, which of course human nature, yes, there's room for that. For you to follow the trend or be a part of society and whatever the fashion is now. That's human nature, yes, but your iman should change you. It shouldn't just be because, well, in Ramadan, everyone's reading Quran, I'm going to read Quran. In Ramadan, everyone's going to the masjid every day, I'm going to get masjid every day. In Ramadan, people were stopping listening to music, so I'm going to stop listening to music. But what are you doing now? 100%. What are you doing now? Yeah, you're right. My brother isn't going to the masjid. My sister isn't reading Quran. My neighbor isn't stopping listening to music. My cousin isn't fasting. But why do you force yourself to be like them. Rather force yourself to be like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and exert yourself in these last 10 days to the best of your ability.
SubhanAllah. I think that's it at the end of the day before we go to a break, that a person should motivate himself as much as he can and just don't look at others. Look, don't look and compare yourself and say, you know what, if I'm doing the same pace as this brother or I'm at the same... You never win a race going the same pace or slower than the other competitors.
Aslan, you're meant to be better. You're meant to want to be better. Allah says, وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَفِسِ الْمُتَنَفِسُونَ in Jannah, for Jannah, let the competitors compete. I'm meant to try and be better than you. I want you to be good. I want us both to be in Jannah al-Firdaws al-A'la, but not at my expense. I'm not going to say, you know what, because you're not going to the masjid, خلاص, I won't get to the masjid either. No. Whether you go or not, Habibi, I'm on my way, inshallah.
So we're going to our first break, Dr. Omar.
I think that was a beautiful outro by Nasima Abidi.
As always.
Allahumma barik.
Jazakum Allah khair. Barakallah feekum. Inshallah we'll take a short break, dear listeners, and we'll be back for more. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Wa lillahi alhamd. Allahu Akbar.
رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما من أيام أعظم عند الله سبحانه ولا أحب إليه العمل فيهن من هذه الأيام العشر فأكثر فيهن من التهليل والتكبير والتحميد.
الله أكبر ولله الحمد.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters, and welcome back to Albayan Radio. We are live from Albayan Radio Studios on this Monday night, the third day of Dhul Hijjah. I'm Abu Abdurrahman and I'm joined by my dear brothers Nasim Abedi and Omar Najareen, and welcome to our Facebook viewers and also those listening on 107.9 FM. We are on 107.9 FM until the 25th of August, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Before the break, we spoke about sacrifice and the importance of the 10 days of the Hijjah. What else do we have tonight, Omar?
SubhanAllah, we wanted to tie in the family into what we're speaking about. In these last, these first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, SubhanAllah, family is something very, very important, as you all know, and we should involve them in the acts of ibadah and worship, especially the children. This is something that we should bring them up upon. And I think what we can normally encourage the children is two main aspects. The first and foremost is Salah, make sure they're praying on time and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And second, I think charity is very important for them to learn in this month. And third, if it is available for them يعني, to do that. The reason I say that is because sometimes, subhanAllah, it is a little bit difficult at times outside the month of Ramadan for some children, but fasting also, يعني, if they can do that. And obviously reading Quran and so forth, that we hope, inshallah, they're doing that at school and after hours and things like that. But the reason I say salah, subhanAllah, because that's something that every child should be doing, and should be doing anyway. But the thing you can implement extra is the sadaqah sarifah. I think that's something very, very important.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, I've got, you know, I've been blessed with the opportunity to teach children and be around a lot of centers and masajid and organizations that teach children from a young age. One sad thing I constantly find, and it's very, it's a consistent bad, is that a lot of these kids are not praying. Not because they don't want to. These kids, a lot of them, they got a love for salah, they got a love for deen. This is their fitrah, this is how Allah created them. But their parents aren't putting in that extra effort. They're not putting in that extra 5 to 10 minutes a day teaching their kids how to pray, or even standing them next to them. And this is very bad. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ told you to order your kids to pray from when they're 7. And then, yeah, I need to, nice way of putting it.
Discipline them.
Discipline, that's the word. To discipline them from when they're 10. These are the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Salah isn't even an obligation yet, but you've already got 3 years, 3 years of motivating, of guiding, of encouraging, of advising, and then when they're 10, let's just say they hit puberty at 13, then there's another 3 years of process where they go through disciplining. So 6 years of preparation before salah is even an obligation. Imagine how important it is. This is definitely a time, if we're not, definitely a time in these blessed days to really start with the children, getting them to pray. Even if it's just from, if they're young, 1 or 2 salawat a day. You know, maybe they wake up, okay, let's, did you pray Fajr? Or when they get home from school, okay, let's pray Asr, let's pray Maghrib, let's pray Isha. The fathers, you know, get the kids to love the masajid. Take them to the masjid, let them meet the imam, you know, let the imam give them a compliment or something, let them, you know, let them love the environment of the masjid, and they say that, wallah, it's not, wallah, it's boring, oh, we have to pray. No, make your kids love the salah from a young age, so when they're raised upon that, inshallah, they will live the rest of their life upon that. And if you look at us, yani, as products of being kids when we were younger, a lot of what we place importance on now is what our parents instilled in us when we were young.
And yes, a lot of the centers these days have facility for the kids. I remember back in our days, the only thing you can do, like as a kid, when you go to the mosque, if you had to sit next to your dad, then wallah, if you moved, anything we used to do is pick the carpet. That was about it. Yeah. If you moved, ya Allah, if you moved. But now, subhanAllah, a lot of the centers, you're talking about CYC Campbelltown, GIYC, you're talking even Al Azhar Masjid, they've got activities for the children. Bukhari has, all these have facilities. Bukhari has a bookstore with a beautiful children's section, for example, that children can go and pick, you know, Islamic books and you know, games and things like that, educational stuff. CYC has, mashallah, basketball, soccer, everything, subhanAllah, thrown in there. So what we're saying is that, you know, there's activities for the children. SWJ Risby, to my knowledge, they got soccer comps that happen on a weekly basis and so forth. There's another, I was telling me that the play groups for the children. Yani, there are a lot of facilities available. SubhanAllah, I think sometimes we cater more for the children than we cater for the adults. So there's no excuse. But subhanAllah, I remember, wallah, growing up, and the adult was probably, yani, around my time, there was nothing.
Let's just say it nicely. Pretty much nothing.
Nothing, subhanAllah. And so if a person wanted to have his children or wanted to take him to the mosque, really, there was nothing that the child can, because child needs entertainment too. There's nothing for him to keep his mind active and whatever it may be.
So now that there is all of these facilities available, make sure you take advantage of it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like your kids are going to like what you give them. Right, your kids are gonna like what you've given. The kids are gonna look at and put what you tell them. You know, if you're letting your kid khalas just day and night, and a lot of our kids are like this. A lot of kids I speak to, this is how they are literally. Wake up in the morning, it's on TV. Comes home from school
before his Weet-Bix even.
Before his Weet-Bix, before his halib and sukkar, before all of this stuff.
It's manoush.
It's manoush before anything. He's on the TV. Okay, no problem. TV until school. Come home from school. He's on Fortnite. One of the kids tells me every day. Comes home from school, sits on Fortnite, which is a video game. Okay. All the way until he sleeps. All the way until he sleeps. Allahu alam. Some of 10, 11 o'clock, depends.
We're talking about the kids, but sometimes the dad's on it with him too.
Yeah, well, okay, but that's what I'm saying. That there's a problem here because the parents are there. So, when, like, if you're looking at, when we're talking about the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, don't expect, if you're not going to be the person motivated and motivating your family, don't expect your kids to care anything about Dhul Hijjah. They're not going to care about the Sha'air of Islam. They're not going to care about these symbols of Islam that Allah Azza wa Jalla loves and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam promoted to us. They're not going to care.
As parents,
you haven't instilled it in them.
As parents, I think we should act more than talk. We should lead by example.
And the Facebook question that was asked, people talk no action and action no talk. What was it again?
Allahu Alam, just don't worry about it.
And you pretty much someone talking and no action. I think really this ties into what we say, that subhanAllah, we criticize other people, but when it comes into our children, we don't criticize them or we let them loose. Like when we see a kid running around the shopping center, most of us look at this kid, he's got no tarbiyah, look at this, his parents don't raise him. But then when our kids do the same thing, or for example, they're in the household destroying the whole house, we look at it, we don't think anything of it. So I think you have to maintain the same principle that you maintain anywhere, inside your house and outside your house, subhanAllah. And I think that's something very, very important, that if you're going to allow the children and you're going to allow your family, you're going to allow all this stuff to be diverted, then when it comes to Dhul Hijjah, don't expect to say, okay, pack everything up and, you know, whatever.
I remember when I was young and we used to have the Nintendo 64. Right, so I used to have a neighbor because this.
That wasn't that young. We used to go back further, but we used to be
no,
like.
No,
don't remind us how old we are.
The Ataris.
I don't have any great.
I remember the Commodore 64 from the 80s and early 90s, I think it was. Astaghfirullah.
Look, the only Commodore I know is a Holden, right? I don't know what you guys are talking about. That's a different language.
That was even before Atari, I think.
Yeah.
That was even before Commodore came out. Yeah.
For Holden,
yalla, bismillah.
So anyways, we know we had the Nintendo 64, or maybe back then it was Super Nintendo. I don't know. Anyways, so my next one, neighbor was very good at it.
Were you born in the 2000s or like the 90s? When were you born?
But yeah, Nintendo 64, us was like a next generation.
1990, bro.
Dream, bro.
90. So we're from the 80s.
Yeah, Allahumma barik.
Yeah, your neighbor.
So my neighbors, he was very good at it. So whenever I got stuck, I would get my neighbor who would get me past this level. A big thing back then was a Zodo or something. So when I got stuck, I would go to him and he would do it. So one day I go over, and now we can't play Nintendo. And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, we can't play Nintendo. I'm like, why? And he goes, oh, because someone in the family died. So for 40 days,
yes,
there's no Nintendo, there's no TV. We have to wear black and all. And they're like Muslim Sunni. And I'm like, okay. You know, obviously
big tradition, that one.
I'm young.
I remember that as well.
But the point is that you let them live everything, you know, do everything haram. Now obviously it doesn't work anymore because no one's traditional. But you see how it's stuffed up now, that whether someone's dead or not dead, the TV doesn't change, the music doesn't change, the weddings don't change, everything stays the same. Why? Because you that's what you got them used to.
Before we continue, I'd like to remind our listeners and our viewers on Facebook, you can send your comments on our live stream now. Whatever you would like to contribute or ask, we'll try our best to answer what you have or mention your feedback, your advice for these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, maybe advice and how to get the kids more involved in these acts and rituals during the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah.
You got to be creative.
Call 9740 as well.
I think,
or leave your comments on our Facebook page.
9740.
9740-6160.
Why is he obsessed with the phone number, bro?
Like, no, because he said call 9740 and then he said, oh. And I'm like, no, hold on a second. You can't just give someone half the number.
So in saying that,
can't give me a Big Mac with no Big Mac sauce.
Oh my God. We're talking about food.
Let's not lead to that now. True meaning, that's not food. No, Get away from that, please.
I've been very far.
You know something that would be a good initiative?
9740-6160, Ahmad.
A good initiative would be like, if just one night or two nights, whatever. One night, just switch off all the, or plug out all the electronic devices in the house. And
it's, called a digital detox.
Oh my God, here we go.
It's called a digital detox. It's already out there.
Then that's what I'm trying to say.
Do you know there's non-Muslims? It's not like a religious thing, obviously. There's non-Muslims.
You know what you're saying? There is something also too that, yeah, they run those programs or whatever. They do, like, for example, restaurants you go to, everyone puts their phone in a box. And why? Because no one, so no one goes on their phone while they're having dinner together. Yeah. That type of stuff, obviously, that exists because people recognize that there's a disease.
There's a problem, yeah, there's a massive problem.
And then the only solution to that is to...
Digital detox.
I don't like digital detox.
Okay,
it?
Well...
Detox is like a cleansing, like you'd like to get something out
of your... Well, that's what you're doing. You're getting it out of your system because it's an addiction.
Yeah, but like, I don't know, detox sounds a bit hippie to me, bro. What's going on, bro?
Hippie? You work with Timber, tabarakallah, after your day job.
Yeah.
That's hippie. Anyways, so, but what they do is they have, some of them, it depends, like some have like some of them have once a week, some have once a month, where they say there's no technology on. There's no technology. There's no TV. There's no phone. There's no Wi-Fi. There's no computer. There is nothing. Just even if it's just one day a week or one day a month, but just so that you can connect. Just so you can connect. You speak to any like 13, 14-year-old boy today, he can't look you in the eyes.
You know, I guarantee, you know, if you go to any child, 13, 14-year-old, and you go to the street and you want to try to approach them, yeah? If you go up to them and says, listen, I want to talk to you about your religion, most of them probably get scared. Right, you know what's the only way to get to them? Yeah, Nassim? You walk up to them, you go, hey, did you hear about Minecraft? Or did you hear about Fortnite? Or did you? They're all ears, bro. They're all ears. And what I'm trying to say is, that's what people's attentions are focused on day and night, day and night, day and night. So what you're saying with the detox, we want a result after the detox. We don't want people to dwell at the detox and the next day everything go back to everything the way
so,
it was.
You know what? So we can move on to consistency. But I think Lincoln, I think a big point that we need to get out from this is that it's not just about the end of the Hijjah. We need to build ourselves that we make this the norm. We make religiosity the norm with us and our families, so that when times like occasions like the Hijjah come, we're on the ball. We're on the ball, which is about working your way up. Consistency, I think you're talking about next.
Well, that's what we have next on our program.
Allahumma barik.
Show the viewers to prove that.
So consistency.
We're very well structured here. We have everything written. Just let everyone know. We're not freestyling. I love it. Consistency.
I think you've done a bit too much lacquering.
Consistency.
Today. Yeah, well, we spoke about this in Ramadan. Right? We said one of the most important things about Ramadan is not Ramadan itself. It's about what you do before Ramadan, after Ramadan. Are you building yourself up to an extent where, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, it's a norm for you? See, why is the masjid full in Ramadan and then empty out right after Ramadan? There's a problem there. Why are people reading the whole Quran in Ramadan, but then after Ramadan, you know, they haven't read 10 pages in 3-4 months? Why is it like that? Because there isn't that consistency. The Prophet ﷺ told us, "Ahabbul a'mali ilallah." So these are ahabbul ayyam ilallah. These are the most beloved days to Allah. We should look at some of the most beloved deeds to Allah. "Ahabbul a'mali ilallah adwamuha wa inqal." The most beloved deeds to Allah Azza wa Jal are the most consistent ones, even if they're small. So when you're not consistent, it's not about, you know, for example, the men, every day salah in the masjid. Like every Isha, if that's when you have home. Every Isha in the masjid, for example. It's not about, you know, every day I'm going to read 5 or 10 or 20 pages of Quran. There isn't that consistency. There isn't that consistency. It sounds like, you know what, every week I'm going to put $20, $30, $40, whatever I can afford. But that's every single week. It's coming. You know, for the mothers, for example, your children at home, you know what? I'm going to put from 6 to 6:30, I'm going to sit down with my kids. I'm going to sit down with my kids and we're going to talk about deen. What did you guys learn? What can I teach you? You know, how can I pray? Do my daughters know about, you know, their menses and how the, you know, what's the Islamic, what are their Islamic obligations? You know, does my daughter know why she's meant to wear the hijab? How does she wear the hijab, etc.? Do you have like deen time? Do you have that consistency? We've got to make it a day-to-day thing. Otherwise, the deen, instead of being this beautiful ritual that you have every single day, becomes like a spontaneous event that you're lucky to uphold. Don't be surprised if these 10 days come and go and you don't do anything different in your life. That's because you're consistently down. But subhanAllah, you find the ones that, tabarakAllah, they're day-to-day, they're religious, day-to-day, deen is part of their life. When these occasions come, like Ramadan or the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, boom, they're able to surpass themselves and they're able to put in the extra effort. But for the one that lacks that religious consistency, when these times come, unfortunately, they just, it's just another 10 days.
Another day.
Just another day, subhanAllah. 10 days, blessed days. And subhanAllah, we mentioned over and over, yani, these days are so blessed. These are the best 10 days. yes, we have the best 10 nights in the nights of Ramadan. How special are they? How much effort do we put? And you know what happens in the nights of Ramadan? Half the time, or most of the time, probably asleep anyway in those last 10 nights. In the daytime, the thing is, in the daytime, you're awake. Like, there's so much things that you can do. It's not like you have to force yourself to take two coffees and a V to stay awake. It's there. You're waking up. It's in your day-to-day life. Your day-to-day interaction. Sometimes in Ramadan, you come out at night. You know, you're limited sometimes in good deeds. And there's not people everywhere you can give sadaqah to. Everywhere's closed, for example. Right? In here, 10 days, there's a lot you can do. Everyone's alive. Everyone's out. Everyone needs help. Everyone needs support.
Your kids are at school.
Your kids are at school. They're caught up. They're not, you know, you're not running around trying to prepare for things and food or whatever it may be.
Your husband's at work.
Your husband's at work. So, anything else you want to add on?
Some kids have school holidays.
Who has school holidays?
Like Arafah and that.
Yeah, and there's 1 or 2 days. Yeah, and what we're saying is,
take advantage.
You take advantage. The daytime, there's a lot you can do. There's so much you can do in that time. And you can't say, oh, Allah, I fell asleep. Because most of the time in the daytime, we're running, we're moving. And we can implement the Dhul Hijjah. We can implement that on our day-to-day life, at work, whatever it may be. Sadaqah, da'wah. Da'wah is something very important when we talk about Allah. Right? Imagine if you make a person a Muslim in this month of, in these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Imagine the reward that you would receive, subhanAllah. Dhikr, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reading Quran, listening to Quran, lectures.
Fasting.
Again, we mentioned sadaqah. Things coming to the masjid. Dua, supplication. Subhanallah, let's look at the times where supplication is accepted. Right? The last third of the night. Right? That's one time where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we know, descends down to the lowest heavens and He tells His angels, is anyone asking for me to forgive so I can forgive them?
I think that's the most you've ever used your pad.
Mine's full. Look, it's full.
You just read a third there, did you? Last third, is that what you wrote?
What's that third? I'm just saying, I don't repeat myself. I'm making these notes. We have, subhanallah, between the adhan and the qamah. That whoever makes dua between adhan and qamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would
accept it. The last hour on Friday before Maghrib.
The hadith says an hour on Friday in which a person makes dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would accept. For those that are in Hajj, subhanAllah, seeing the Kaaba, they can also make dua, inshallah, that dua is accepted. Yani, there's a lot of times, subhanAllah, in your day that a person, he can supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would accept that from him. Put all that together, and when we're saying that too, yani, there's a lot of adhkar, there's a lot of, you know, reading at al-kursi,
visiting, time the lot of kinship, visiting the people you haven't visited, visiting people that are sick. You know how much sick people we've got in our community that are relatives sometimes that we.
And you won't say you have all these bonuses already. You know, you read at the kursi after salah, and the Prophet said, whoever reads at the kursi, the only thing between him and paradise is death. Meaning, if he dies upon that, then inshallah he will enter paradise. Reading the last two surah of ayat al-Baqarah, as the Prophet said, whoever reads the last two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah kafata, it is enough for him. Then you got at Kul Azra Falak, Kul Azra Bin Nas, that a person can also read before he goes to sleep. These are all bonuses, right? And then put on top of that, you have Dhul Hijjah. And you imagine how much more this is exaggerated in reward and bonuses. And then on top of all that, you have fasting the day of Arafah. And we know the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He forgives your sins for the previous
year and the following year.
Subhanallah. So that is on fasting on the day of Arafah. And subhanallah, you put all that together, and then you have the udhiyah also, which is also, there is a reward.
Just one comment on the Facebook. One sister, I think it was, said that inshallah we can all be a ummah of tahajjud.
Amen.
I mean,
what about first the five prayers? What do you reckon? Start with the Fajr first.
No,
at least she's aiming high.
She's aiming high. Because the best prayer after the obligatory prayer is the night prayer.
You know, for those that really, to be honest, sacrificed and prayed the tahajjud every night. Yani, subhanAllah. Yani, I am jealous. I am jealous of these people, subhanAllah. Yani, this is such a great quality that person, because you know why? Because the thing is, they don't have to. That's the thing. They don't have to. Yani, if they want, they can sleep. they can, and if they're praying their sunan prayer and they're doing everything, it's not like something they have to. But you know what? They're hungry.
Time.
They're hungry for reward.
But you're sacrificing time and comfort, which you mentioned at the beginning.
SubhanAllah. Yani, imagine that. Not just that, you're forsaking your bed while other people are either sitting at night or asleep. You're there worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know what? There's no riyah. There is no riyah in tahajjud. Why? Because you're in your room. And yeah, at night.
No one knows.
No one knows.
Except Allah.
And how beautiful is that, subhanAllah.
Just to finalize on that point, and you mentioned that, but just to reemphasize for the listeners, is that the virtue here is more in the day than the night, as opposite to Ramadan. Ramadan, the last 10 nights are the more virtuous than the day, but here the days are more the virtuous. So, you know, in the sadaqah, for example, you know, try and give your sadaqah during the day. Like, let's say you want to be consistent, you want to give whatever you can only give $10 a day, $5 a day. You know, fear the hellfire, even if it's with half a day. You can only give $1 a day, but try and give it during the day. So the day, Islamically, is between Fajr and Maghrib.
Is it fair to say that at night a person does more reward for himself, and in the day a person does more actions than that for others? Because if you look at it at night, most of the stuff is secluded. It's between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in the day, that's when the ties of kingship. Like, you're going to visit your uncle that you haven't talked to 2 o'clock in the morning. It's going to be most likely in the day. Giving sadaqah, helping a beggar, most of the time it's going to be again in the day. And subhanAllah, you look at Dhul Hijjah, it's like saying, yani, in the daytime, yes, you're sacrificing your time, not just to help yourself, but also to
I think that, that's something we can speak about in the future, because that's a whole massive topic that we need to really focus on. That deen's not just about you and Allah, it's just between you and the people also.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that 100%. And subhanAllah, focus, don't just focus on what benefits you in these 10 days, also what benefits others that are around you, how you can help, how you can spread the reward.
Finally, I'd like to speak about a reminder of a point that the ulama say, that in when the it's a sacred place or a sacred time. So like if you're like in Mecca or in Medina, or you're in a sacred time like these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, that the deed is multiplied in terms of good deeds,
magnified,
but it's also the sin is also magnified. So this is something that we should also be careful of and fear, that whilst you're committing a sin, that sin is now considered to be greater, because this is a greater time in which Allah Azza wa Jalla loves. And a greater time that Allah loves, you should take advantage of Allah Azza wa Jalla's mercy in that time. Which by default means that the sin is also magnified in that time. So brothers and sisters, just like in Ramadan, you know, you respected the month of Ramadan enough to stay away from the music, to stay away from the girls, etc., etc., etc. This is also a time to stay away from those sins, because just like the deeds are more beloved, the sins are also more hated to Allah Azza wa Jal. Don't put yourself in a situation. Well, sometimes you're on a group chat, right? Or you're just sitting with someone, and then they're just talking normally, and they just let out an F word. And you think, like, wallah, how stupid. That's what goes through my mind, and I told them in a nice way, but sometimes in a nice way. How stupid for you to just say that. Like, you could have said anything, and it could be halal. But you chose something to be haram.
They're defending their religion, but and they say if, or they say that if
whatever it is, it's just some people just do stupid harams. You know what I mean? It's just like so stupid. Like you want to shut your kid up, so you just throw like the Wiggles in front of them. Like why are you putting such a stupid sin? Like imagine walayhi billah, like you get a hellfire because you know I used to let my kids just do the Wiggles. Like were you that dumb to?
We want to just footnote here. Footnote here, just for the news and the whatever it is. Nassim Abdi is not saying that you will go to hell if you listen to Wiggles.
So you're putting yourself on a dangerous path, exactly, because of the music that the Wiggles are involved
in. Imagine tomorrow's headline.
Islamic radical preacher says you're going to the hellfire if you listen to the Wiggles. Well, they did put me in the news for
about music. Actually, they say a bit more catchy
even
than that.
Even made 2GB that one.
Oi. They'll be like, for example, they'll say, wiggle your way
to the hellfire. That's bad. That one was bad, Amar. But don't do these stupid sins. can we turn his mic off?
I think what Nassim is saying at the end of the day, really, it actually, that's beautiful advice what he's giving. Don't wreck something so Yani, not worth wrecking. Yani, you've wrecked something. Yani, you're building something and you wreck it by saying a bad word. Or you wreck it by swearing. Or you wreck it by whatever. Watch. Or you watch something you shouldn't watch. Or whatever it may be. Yani, don't destroy something you've built. Especially the thing that you're doing is not worth it. It's got no substance, got no benefit for you in this world or the hereafter. It might not even have a haram benefit to you too.
But like nothing. But I just wanted to say the F word. Like, come on. What a bad.
And just to let the people know that swearing in Islam, it falls underneath not just one but many categories. Slander, can fall under backbiting, vain talk, idle talk,
offending people,
rubbish talk, and the body. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said every morning the limbs, they say to the tongue, they say, "Fear Allah, we're with you. If you're straight, we're straight. If you're straight, we're straight. And if you're crooked, we're also crooked." And subhanAllah, it's like we are learning from this hadith. And as we all know, everything goes back to the tongue and starts with the actual tongue. So don't ruin. And the Prophet ﷺ said, a person could do good his whole life. His whole life. It's an authentic hadith. And he could say one thing, just one thing, Nasim. One word. And that word is a word of the people of hellfire. One word. And because of that one single word, thus he enters hellfire.
And that's not because Allah oppressed that person. No, that's because there's something or carelessness in the heart which shows on the limbs. So let's fix these hearts, fix these last 10 days, magnify the and glorify and hold in awe the symbols of Allah Azza wa Jalla, like Dhul Hijjah, and let's just be
better. And for those, yani, subhanAllah, we can touch on a few things. Those that are looking to do a sacrifice, al-udhiyah, qurban.
Qurban, yep.
For every household, it is one qurban due. The person that is intending to do the qurban, he has to not cut.
Refrain.
Or refrain he's from cutting his nails.
Not reframe. Refrain.
Anyway.
English
not,
language,
he's not,
yeah?
He's not supposed to English cut lesson. His fingers or his moustache.
His fingernails.
Fingernails.
You don't want no one cutting their fingers, Omar.
Cut your fingers.
Like, Habibi.
Whether it's fingernails.
People are going to understand. Fingernails, moustache, hair, even excessive scratching, things like that. As similar to the person of ihram, and the scholars, they said, subhanAllah, that's for the person that's doing the adhiyah to sort of also feel a little bit of the person in an ihram, how he and his, subhanAllah, also feels. And it is from the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to mention this, is that a person is from the sunnah is to eat from the adhiyah. So if he's able to eat from the actual adhiyah, obviously that is the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A person decides to send it overseas, we're only advising you what's according to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And for those that do udhiyah, you cannot cut your nails or your hair. It's not after your salah here. If you're doing it overseas, you have
slaughtered.
You have to wait to be slaughtered. So it might be 8 hours, for example.
It might be the last day of Eid.
Yeah, like you don't know. So you have to make sure that your udhiyah is slaughtered. So you don't go after Eid prayer, go get your haircut or whatever, fix and groom yourself. You have to wait till your udhiyah, subhanAllah, is actually slaughtered. And we also advise the brothers, don't forget the day of Arafah.
Yani, next Monday.
This
inshallah
is the day that you want to fast. You want to put it in your calendar. You want to take pictures, put it on the wall, tell everyone. That's a very, very important day. Because the reason I'm saying that is because last year, subhanAllah, Ashura. I went to work, I totally, subhanAllah, forgot about it. I had a coffee, I had cake, I had food, I had everything until someone came in and said, and I offered them something, they go, no, I'm fasting it. I go, why? They go, it's Ashura, and subhanAllah, it slipped my mind. And it can happen. It can happen.
Inshallah, we'll be speaking about it in more detail in the upcoming days, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Now, we will be on FM. Al-Bayan Radio will be on FM in Sydney, 107.9 FM, until the 25th of August. But we have a bit of an announcement that we haven't announced before, that our narrowband radios will be going off the air from the 30th of September, 2018. So if you've got those old radios, what we've decided
when
to do...
When you say narrowband, meaning...
The first radios we had. So we're phasing it out, basically. And whoever has a narrowband radio that they still listen to, bring it in and inshallah we'll replace it for you with a Al-Bayan Wi-Fi radio, which are now available.
And the Wi-Fi is very crispy.
That's right. Very clear, not crispy.
That's why we describe it. Because I have both supplies.
Are you hungry, brother?
No, that's...
Crisp.
crisp. It doesn't matter. Crispy, same thing. That's quite crispy. You're now, just thinking about now food.
Our wife already has clear and crispy, if you like to say that. It sounds like you're talking about KFC, crisp, but anyway.
It doesn't matter. But, no, because I got both. Don't say I got both. The narrow bands are good, but subhanAllah, once you actually put the Wi-Fi on, then you notice the big difference between the two.
So the narrow band, if you've got any of the Wi-Fi radios previously purchased, that's fine.
Yes, that's
right. It's only the one that's running off the antenna.
The narrow band radio that runs off the antenna, the little black ones or the little grey ones, they'll be no longer working after September 30, 2018. So come in quickly, replace your narrow band radio with a free Wi-Fi radio. You alluded there to the sisters playgroup. The sisters at Masjid Al-Azhar Belmore have a sisters playgroup every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. during the school term. So please, for the sisters, bring your child that still hasn't gone to school and come in and catch up with your sisters in Islam. And Omar mentioned the Qurban 150. I personally get mine from MGA, locally slaughtered. So it's a good service. They slaughter it for you and you pick it up, I think, on the second day or the day after Eid.
And you know, and some, you eat from it. Some people, actually quite Allah, I had this comment, oh, why is the Qurban go up every year? So it used to be $100 and went to 110, then went to 120 or whatever it may be. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Qurban actually in Australia is actually very cheap compared to other countries. And if you're looking at other countries, like for example, Lebanon or even Indonesia, for example, the Qurban or something slaughtered there, you're looking at about $200 Australian. So
minimum.
You know?
Lebanon, I think it's like 300.
So subhanAllah, and what is their minimum wage? You know what I mean? SubhanAllah, for us, it's a day wage, for example. For them, it could be a month wage. So thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the Qurban here is that inshallah, and a person should say, you know what, is that all it costs? You know, I want to do 2, 3, I want to do 5, I want to do 10. At the end of the day, it's all distributing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And before we spoke about lessons for our youth, we've been asked many times about classes for youth, and there is a new class for the young teenagers every Saturday morning at ASWJ College, which is located in Belmore, 172 Bellwood Road, Belmore, next door to Masjid Al-Azhar Belmore. This is running for boys only at the moment, and it's for teenagers, teaching Aqidah, Seerah, Tafsir, Quran, and Fiqh. So anyone who'd like to enroll, enrollments are still open. And lastly, Eid prayers, Eid in the Park. We know it's next Tuesday, and there are many locations that ASWJ runs in New South Wales. Next Tuesday, not tomorrow.
Yeah.
So Tuesday week, we can Tuesday say the week. 21st of August. There's many locations such as Homebush, Bicentennial Park, Bass Hill, Bankstown, Campbelltown, Mentor Indoor Sports Centre, Liverpool, the Whitlam Centre, Wollongong Hockey and Sports Centre. For more details, visit the ASWJ Australia page or the Eid in the Park page or website. Barakallahu feekum. I thank Brother Nassim and Brother Omar for being with us today. And I thank all our listeners, whether listening on 107.9 FM or our Wi-Fi radios or watching on our Facebook page. Barakallahu feekum. We will, inshallah, be with you throughout these next 10 blessed days. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This program was presented by Al Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.